Jane, I think I texted you this, but I'm no longer going to be working that juvenile male counselor position because during orientation, they really slow rolled the exposure of just how much the job required dealing with specifically, I'll say, unacceptable sexual behavior. And I was like, yeah, no. See, when it comes to like the topic of pedophilia or molestation, like I don't have an opinion or a point of view that is going to be in line with this particular institution. So I'm out.
And by I have an opinion, my opinion is wood chipper, automatic, right? Straight
Yeah,
to
or
wood chipper.
something very similar to taking a like a an old dog out behind a particular shed kind of deal.
I loved Matt Loheimer's comment last night, like, oh, if I was in charge, there would be severe
There'd be
punishment for
no
pedophilia.
tolerance.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, and that's the thing too, is like, because I'm sitting there and I was torn because like I do want to help like a lot of these young guys, but like when it comes to that stuff, like I'm sorry, but like because I was discussing it with some other friends of mine, and like the unfortunate thing is when it comes to like this is a super dark topic to just jump straight into, but
A pre-show.
very well, yeah, and it's very on brand for me, I guess, so that's good. But like the thing is like when we're talking about this like very serious stuff with like just sexual like sexualization of children like is, has been going on particularly for the last like year and a half, that like society can't tolerate it like whatsoever, because like as soon as a kid like I mean you look at all the documentaries on like serial killers or serial rapists or whatever, oftentimes they're one and the same. Like once that action is carried out onto another kid, there's a high likelihood that you just turn that kid into one of those people, like in the future, because they start to think that that's how you show affection,
Yeah.
right?
Or that it's
And
even acceptable.
Yeah.
yeah, like both of those are obviously bad enough, like independently, but like when you get them together and put it into a person, and then all this other stuff, I'm sorry, but it gets so deeply ingrained into like who a person is that like there's once that demon's there's no getting that demon out.
That's how, like all abuse gets carried down. I mean, at least almost all of it. I mean, probably like 99% of it is just like passed down. And to the point, like I try to do like the peaceful parenting. I try not to have ever like spanked my kid. It's probably happened a couple times. But try not to do that. But then also having the realization, like, kind of like no matter, you could be like the best parent on earth, right? Like you could kind of do everything right or whatever, but there's always some characteristic about your personality or whatever that you're passing down that sometimes you're
Yeah.
kind of like, I don't really love that
Well,
they're like me like that. But
we're all gonna have negative qualities that we're gonna pass down, is basically what you're getting
yeah.
at.
But the understanding of like you can save a lot of people from avoiding these really terrible, tragic things that, maybe if they happen to you or anybody listening, like by understanding that that is not something that you want to pass down and it's not
Yeah.
okay. And like it can just end with you.
It can, yeah. The other difficulty too with the topic is just that like I was saying, that demon's always there, which means that it's always kind of like, I guess a good example would be like the guy that's like that has a like a natural inclination for adultery, like that pull is gonna be there always, right? And like it like and the stress point is that like what's the combination of events and circumstances that need to align to where his faculties cave and he resorts back to that behavior, right? And it's like it's no different than like these particular behaviors like pedophilia or whatever. But yeah, so I will not be working that job, which means that my schedule is much more fluid now, because I'm focusing specifically on the training. So like I'll be able to determine what days I can't work and everything. So I'm super
Well,
stoked.
sounds like maybe we've got the making of an extra show here with because I'll tell you right now, man, it has bothered me not to do the show. I mean, it really has. Like
I bet.
it's one of those things where I time is very valuable, right? Like, I mean, extremely valuable, especially in my little mix here where, you know, if we're starting the day at 5 a.m. going to jujitsu, then coming home, working a full day, getting the kids to jujitsu in the evening, possibly getting in another role with those guys, and then coming back here, like to be a, like to make that a functional part of your life, to just be committed to the family and spend as much time with those guys as possible. Do, you know, everything we're doing at work, then do Bitcoin veterans, try to stand up brave at the same time and get that thing moving and try to, I'll tell you what, man, I've been trying to hit up Graham Hancock and the rest of these guys about,
oh, that would be dope as hell.
Yeah.
About the megalithic structures of Brian Marascu, the guy that wrote. Yep. So I actually have communications with him now.
Nice.
And so I'm trying to get quite a few of these guys like, hey, you guys need to get the fuck out here and see some stuff. But anyway, all that kind of stuff and not to be able to like do this show. I mean, like a psychopath. I was talking to my wife about this the other night. I was like, you realize for about 290 something episodes, I sat around for an hour by myself and just talked into a microphone for an hour. Like, here doing like
straight monologuing for external consumption
twice a week, sometimes three times a week. Like, who the fuck does this kind of stuff? Like, I was like, you know what I need more humor. I need guys to talk with, to bounce shit off of, to laugh with, and you know, take the good, the bad, the light, the dark, all of these things together. And I mean, if we can make something work, I think it's going to be a lot of fucking fun. That's what it's going to be.
So basically, like, if you didn't have any audience for all, you know, like, well, actually this is true up until the point that you like make your, whatever you're recording go live. Right. But Shane is like, literally he's the, like the epitome of the libertarian screaming into the void. Because he's just having a conversation with himself in a room by himself. Like, until this ever gets broadcast out for other people to listen to, it's just literally you in a room by yourself. Yeah.
That's why talking. I had to start multicasting very early on, because I had to have some comments going on the other side over there.
That's fair.
It's always been a really good show. And it, like, looking back on how I'm like, damn, this dude just hit record and started talking. But you do a good job of it.
Well, I think it needs to evolve.
Yeah.
Shane, I was gonna ask you too, like, because I think our entire group, like, we have a lot going on, like, you know, and like on our own like little lives or circles or whatever. But I don't know about you guys, but it's not until the days where either like time is tight or I just slow down and I'm like, I am doing a metric fuck ton compared to what the rest of like the average of society like expects out of their lives, right? Like, because like we've mentioned in a couple podcasts on Bitcoin veterans, like I'm the only single guy in the group. So like, and I'm like, man, I would really like to start a family, but I gotta like either abandon, I'm like, I gotta abandon some of these projects or get some of these things wrapped up and tied off with a bow here soon, so I can actually start for it. Because like to your point that you were talking about with like your kids and like doing the BJJ and everything, like you slow down and like you get it, you have a normal, you have some form of employment that takes up whatever your time is, which is typically going to be anywhere from 6 to 9 to 10 hours a day, right? Like that, I would say that that's a normal band. After that, like, you include working out and cooking your meals and all that stuff. It's like, dude, we're like, and then I obviously start to understand how normies fall into the trap of like just turning the brain off and watching Netflix for like 3 hours or something. But I'm just like, it's a wild thing that I've been trying to like suss out, and I've come to the conclusion that there's no such thing as balance. Balance is for the fairies and the birds, and like there's nothing you can actually do with it.
I love that.
I hate to tell like another dude, oh, this is what you should do. I don't fucking know. So take this with a grain of salt that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I feel like you're saying you need to get like projects and stuff wrapped up before you start like dating and going down the route of having a family. And it's more like, I feel like you just need to find the person that fits in with what it is you're doing.
That enables it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we were like, obviously, you know, you have to get along with each other, but like also they get like, this is what you're doing, you're going to keep doing it, and she can figure out how to work with it. Like, and I would say maybe that's where the balance comes in, because like to some degree you have to be able to reciprocate for her every once in a while, but like
what,
but finding that balance, like don't lose what it is you're doing.
Have to reciprocate for her? That's a bunch of bullshit.
Just, dude, like once a year.
Balance is for pussy, Jordan.
Once a year, do something nice for your wife, and then just once the rest of the year, just be like, yes, honey, I know. You're yelling at me again. I understand. It's fine.
You just, so which one moment do you pick a year? Is it her birthday or Valentine's?
Luckily, they're like days apart, so I just package it up as like one deal, get extra credit.
I was going to say, Jordan just goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, she must do the same for you guys. You guys are the same sign, because happy birthday, Jordan, by the way.
Oh yeah, thanks for broadcasting that.
Jordan Gambrell's birthday, February 16th.
Also, Christopher Gadsden, of the creator of the Gadsden flag, also his birthday. Found that out today.
Duck, dive, dodge, trying to get away from this birthday thing. How old are you?
This is my last year of my 30s.
Damn, dude.
I'm super excited. I'm like, I kind of was this way going into my 30s too. Like, I mean, maybe this is just like, I don't think any dudes really care too much about their age.
Or
like,
40s easy.
If anything, I think we're the opposite of women. Like, we look at dude, 30s are going to be fucking sweet. And 40s are going to be, I don't know.
I mean, especially if you're a dude that stays capable and fit, like us strapping young gentlemen, like
Silver Fox, man.
Thanks for saying young.
Yeah, like, well, I did that specifically for you guys, you know, just to fluff you guys a little bit. But like if, when you're a guy that's like actually taking care of yourself still, and you're still chasing down like objectives and missions and stuff, like,
yeah,
what does age mean? It's not until it's like there's no avoiding it. Like you're so old that even with working out, like some shit's starting to feel a little off. Like,
thanks, I think when the three of us first started talking, it might have even been like episode one or two of Bitcoin Veterans, when it was the three of us staying up late, just bullshitting after the show. And we talked about like fitness, and you guys really motivated me, because as I am getting older and realizing like my body doesn't recover like it used to, I've never done anything. I've never like ate appropriately or took supplements or anything like that. I just was, right?
But nutrition was this like far off wizardry that you didn't need.
Food was just fuel, like whatever it is, just get it in your body. You're about to burn that shit off anyway. It's fine, whatever. You just need some calories. Now I'm realizing, like, you know, watching what I eat, really paying attention to like what I'm putting in, supplementing it with vitamins, things that will help me recover quicker. And this is like, we got to do an episode about this sometime more, just so I can learn, because I've kind of cherry picked some like vitamins and supplements I think I should be taking, but I'm probably fucking this all up too, or like going overboard or something and just having really expensive pee.
I mean,
but like I start looking at all this because I look at my 40s and I'm like, I still want to be kicking ass. Like I'm, compared to the other dads and stuff, like I am older, and it's like I want to show these motherfuckers like, no, I still got it, and you really need to step up your game. Like you're still in your 20s or you're in your early 30s. Like what the fuck's your excuse, dude? Step it up. I'm in my 40s over here.
Well, and the difference can be like, if you get into like some sort of tussle or something, the difference can be like the difference between a slight pulled muscle and like a torn shoulder. Right. Like there's a big difference between the two, especially like as you get up just into the older ages, like you get more susceptible to all sorts of injuries, fractures, like bone density is a big one, which gets helped out a lot. But I was going to tell you, Jordan, just to get comfortable with the vitamin stuff, if you're taking any sort of vitamin, you are without a doubt contributing to expensive peas. So there's no way around it.
Taking like
I take
vitamins. So
yeah. I take vitamins and supplements and stuff. It's just something that isn't like taught for whatever reason, because it doesn't take that much effort or even that much talking to incorporate it into the school system. But when it comes to absorbing nutrients, the body isn't perfect. Which, like, I mean, it makes sense. Like when somebody says it and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But like, we all have to constantly remind ourselves, like, whatever we're eating, the body's not taking up 100% of it. Oftentimes the max is like 50% of what we're putting in. That's why you need multiple meals.
Yeah.
So just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah. The entire prospect of being in the best shape of your life in your 40s, I think is a very doable thing. You might not be the strongest you ever were. You might not have the best the same kind of cardio that you once did. You may not, you know, have obviously the strength either. But the idea that you can't be in the best shape, especially if you were 80s or 90s kid, you know, growing up in the upside down food pyramid fucking area. Like now that you're figuring out like, oh, you know, I actually need to eat beef and I need to eat butter and I need to eat eggs. Yep. And I need to eat, you know, not fucking tons of vegetables or
cholesterol is not the bad guy.
Yeah. Or fruit. And now that you're figuring these things out and they are literally, they were just common for, you know, like most of human history. Like this is what you ate because this is what it was. Sourdough bread, if you're going to have bread, because let's face it, the bleached out bullshit that we have these days that they're, you know, cramming in people's face with 7 to 11 servings a fucking day, according to the food pyramid. It's no wonder. I mean, you look at America and it's just silly obese. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much if you monitor what you're stuffing in your face. If you want to be fit, go out, get a little bit of exercise, walk, maybe, you know, do some other activity if you can. You don't have to be, you know, God's gift to fitness. You just needed to try a little fucking bit. And and you too can be, I don't know, not a, I don't know, this whole idea of a dad bod is the best thing out there. Like, dude.
Well, that was like how the whole body positivity bullshit got started. Yeah. It was like the dad bod. Like when that got started, I looked at these women that I was like interacting with at the time, and I'm like,
I think they just want to be fat too.
Yeah, I looked at the ladies that were saying that the dad bod was like what they wanted. I'm like, you are lying through your damn teeth. Like,
yeah. No, you, the dad bod is all you can get. Yeah. So. You're accepting your level of physique capability.
Or at the very least, it also means that there's going to be diminished competition for her.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but let's just set it straight, right? If Chris Helmsworth walks in the fucking room, every woman in there will, like, if she's like,
and some dudes. Like,
come with me, right? She's fucking gone. I don't care if she's been married to you for 20 years. She's leaving. See ya. And that's,
she's like, I know we've never discussed Hall Pass, but Hall Pass.
or just, hey, I'm going for a better life, right? Like that guy figured it the fuck out. He's probably an alien from another planet somewhere, like Thor. But yeah, at any rate, you guys want to get into a show here and talk some current events.
Yeah, let's distract from the fact that Chris Helmsworth is the first dude Shane goes to.
Dude, that guy's a fucking specimen. There's anybody who denies that is out of their fucking mind.
At some point too, after we get onto what you want to talk about, Shane. Jordan, if you haven't read that book that I sent to you, I'm sure you haven't because Wuhan like, one? No, there's another one. Few, but... Yeah, I've sent you a few. But like we could talk about aliens and stuff after whatever Shane you want to talk about. Cause I have some pretty wild theories that our chat with Lohmeyer, like really increased my confidence in my theories. So I'm like, God damn it, dude.
All right.
We'll get into it.
Here we go. That lead deficiency that you had, that's going to get cured real fast. Because there are some things that are worth dying for, ladies and gents. You radical. The system and everything that it touches, it corrupts and it is rotten. We are not here to get the establishment just to run for their money. We are here to change the course of history. In the wars, in the Fed, in the empire. Free people cooking contracts together without government regulation has been proven to lift the human condition.
and we can see plain as day if we just take off these ridiculous tribal banners. The government doesn't give a damn about people dying.
Unconstitutional for the American people to be saddled with that kind of debt by gunpoint, to have it wasted on bureaucracy. I'm not finished mine yet, thank you.
My mission is to bring people together while preserving the freedom of every individual, regardless of skin color, age, faith, gender, love, and every other nuance which makes us unique. But I was informed that their main interest was liberty, and in this cause, I am doing my very best.
Damn, it's been a while. Ladies and gents, I'm your humble absent host, Shane Hazel. I have with me Jordan Gambrell and Mike Hobart again. It has been a long time, and I got to tell you guys, I'm thrilled to have you here. I am thrilled to actually have seen that. I think I'm going to work on a new intro here. It's a bit long and lengthy for, I think, this day and age, but man. Dude,
you are the king of intros. Don't, yeah. I mean, redo one if you want, but it's not the length that's the issue. That's what she said.
That's what she
I was thinking it. I was like, do I say
it? Jordan coming in hot. Today is February 16th, and we've been gone for quite a while. A lot of stuff been going on in the world, and I have been faithfully going to the salt mines every day over at Swan Bitcoin to support my family and to do what I do over in Bitcoin. It's kind of been my mission. It's one of those things I wanted to dive a lot deeper into. And I think I got lost. And I say lost it. I just kind of got to that point where I was like, man, there's so much for me to do and so much for me to do with my family. We're talking about this a little bit before the show actually started, that the priorities in my life have just kind of shifted around a little bit and, didn't want to take this audience for granted, but at the same time, we had shifted into, Bitcoin veterans. If you're not aware of that, both Jordan and Mike are a big part of Bitcoin veterans as co-hosts over there. We've got five guys, and we're talking about a lot of things. We've got some amazing guests, and it's taken a lot of our time, and it's exploded. We've been at it for 32 shows now. That's 32 weeks of broadcasting, and then some. We've got groups around the country, around the world now, and we are now going to be doing some things with Bitcoin Magazine, BitBlock Boom. If you need tickets, you can get a hold of us through Bitcoin Veterans for that kind of stuff. A huge discount, 70% for one of them.
wink, wink. Not like maybe. Can either confirm or deny 70% for both. Yeah.
But some massive discounts. So if you're looking to actually meet some Bitcoiners in real life, some veterans in real life, and really kind of just grow your circles with some amazing people, get a hold of us and get involved in that. But today we're going to talk about whatever the hell we want. This is one of those things where we're like, we got a little bit of white space on the calendar today. Let's get together. Let's talk. The three of us at least are infamous for hanging around after the show and talking for fucking hours if we really want to. And so I thought, this might actually be the new format, is the way we do things. Kind of, we'll bring some things in. I'm not promising you this is going to be once a week. I'm not promising you that it's going to be twice a week, whatever. But we are definitely going to, I love this show and I love this audience. And it's one of those things where I want to continue to do it. So, I kind of set my mind to things and they happen. So we'll see how it works.
Whoa, subtle flex.
Yeah, subtle. But
I bend reality to my will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not manifesting, what are you doing? I mean, you've got a magic mountain back here. We've got plenty of psychedelics to supercharge some of those things. And, once you start tapping into frequency and power and all that fun stuff, amazing things begin to happen. I'm just, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, yeah, amazing things start to happen.
Shane, you, when we came up and did that range recon, you had mentioned you use grounded sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, let me check this out. So I got some, been using it for what, the last week or 2 weeks, however long it's been. And, I don't know what it's necessarily doing, but I know I am having dreams like a motherfucker. And I still don't really remember my dreams, but I usually just don't even remember that I'm having them. But I'm waking up and I'm like realizing I've had vivid dreams all night long. And I wake up feeling, because I think because of that, I wake up feeling much more rested, even on like maybe even less sleep. And I'm like, it's gotta be the sheets. It's, I'm like tapping into
as in like the type where you have it literally connected to the ground.
Yeah, the grounding plug. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, the grounding plug and the outlet.
I saw her,
and I'm like, you're just stressed out over other things. It's not the sheets. Don't blame my sheets.
I saw a study where they mentioned grounding sheets, however you mention it. And then just specifically grounding in general and like what it does to like the actual electrical signals of the body. And I was like, okay, when I get the time and it's really more the money than anything, just like figuring out how to do it myself and getting into an area of like, I mean, if I'm in an apartment complex on the third floor, it's obviously not happening.
Well, you can actually, you can plug these into the lug. So your 120 outlets in your house have the grounding lug. It's the one on the bottom.
Yeah.
And you just plug into that in there and you're fine.
It's not necessarily you have to be like actually connected to the ground. It's more just the electrical grounding than in general.
But yeah. that literally makes you connected.
It does
to the
go
ground.
Into the ground. Yeah. Okay. Learning. Yeah. I'm learning live.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was going to say, let's see, who can I grab here that might actually be worth a damn that's not made in China? Let's see.
I mean, full disclosure, I got mine from Amazon, so they're probably coming from China.
I was going to throw
maybe, so maybe the dreams are like lead paint based or something. Yeah.
Hey, if you're in the grounding sheet business out there and you're looking for a crowd, I got to tell you, I talk about grounding sheets all the time with people.
Especially if they're American made.
There's a guy in the jiu-jitsu gym that I roll at, and I walked in the other morning before training a couple weeks ago, and he had like I saw him do it. Like he was rolling around, and you know, he's in his 40s and his neck pops and he had to like stop everything. And he gets up off the mat and he's just like, oh man. And you know, this guy works his ass off and he works super hard and like with his hands kind of stuff. And so when he comes over to me and he's just like, man, I did it again. And I was like, dude, do you know about grounding sheets? And I started talking to him about it. This was like 2 weeks ago. And so he's like, I've heard of it. This makes me want to pull the trigger. So fast forward to like two nights ago, I walk in to pick up the kids and he is on the mat stretching, you know, about to go in and do some rolling. And he walks up to me with this giant smile on his face.
Like, I feel great.
Dude, he's like, I got to tell you, man, I went and bought some grounding sheets. And he's like, I don't know if it's placebo or what, but he's like, it's like the inflammation is gone. And I was like, I've been prescribing,
don't come after me for like malpractice or something, but I've been Dr. advising Mike. Some, yeah, right. Dude. I've been consulting or advising some people on dealing with injuries, like coming out of like, you know, just you're working out or you're rolling around on the mats, like Shane's talking about, and you get into an injury, like pulling your neck, like he was saying, or pulling your back or pulling like the low lumbar area. And what I've been describing is a combination of like a type of grounding. And then also what I've been telling people is like, hey, like I know the natural inclination to treating an injury is to avoid it. But what I want you to do is I want you to put yourself into what would be normal positions of like in that with using that muscle where it starts to hurt. And I want you to just sit there. Cause like one of the things that I've noticed is the problem with like the medical industry or the healthcare industry in general is like when there's an injury or a surgery or like an injury of any kind, including surgery recovery, is that people will avoid and nurse like the area that hurts. And I'm like, problem is that pain is a signal to the body that like something needs to be fixed. Right. Yeah. So like, I actually take the more, some people probably think it's masochistic, but like when I get injury or whatever, any sort of pain, I'm like, okay, I'm going to lean into it a little bit, like lean into it, get the surge of signaling out to the body. It's like, hey, this isn't like fixed yet. Get over here and fix it. Get the inflammation started, the growth process, mix that with the grounding. And I bet you recover really quick.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll even get into topics we even talked about before the show, but this seems to work. I will tell you, my history is like riddled with injury, like just riddled. Like I've got an AC separation. I've dislocated both my shoulders. I've had hernias. I've broken like damn near every rib from like my left side down through jiu-jitsu. Popped ribs where it's away from the cartilage. Couple back surgeries, you name it, right? And so like in those injuries, the ones that I've really recovered from faster, the shoulder injuries, I never put a sling on. Like I constantly try to break the scar tissue, get the range of movement, take stock of like where it is on a certain day, and then maybe push a little bit. The same with the back. You know, as soon as I was able to get out of a bed and start a very controlled form of yoga, like I started like right away. And you know, I may have done myself a little bit of, you know, damage or setback, and who knows, but I will tell you, to come back as fast as I did after the second one, boy, like it incorporating grounding with it, it happened pretty darn fast. You know, it's like I was not able to do things in September, and then October through grounding, I was able to go and sleep on a mountain on the ground with my kids. And I actually felt better the next day. Crazy.
Well, like you could use this as a segue into the stuff you want to talk about if you want. Cause like the third part of this kind of like health triangle the part to make it into a triangle would be people looking into like this hemi-sync stuff, like the gateway experience from the Monroe Institute. Because they are the Monroe Institute, and the Gateway Experience is a therapy. Well, it can be used as a therapy, especially it's helping me for sleep in particular, but it's also a meditative practice for improving one's consciousness by using two different frequencies at like 100 hertz and 104 hertz, one in each ear, to create a vibrato between the two hemispheres of the brain.
Yeah.
To the point of where both sides are working in synchronous together. The first time I did it, and like you want to do it with like good headphones, like we've all got on. So like you're gonna like turn it up relatively loud. But you can actually feel it in your head. Like I got like this weird high sensation. Like I just wanted to smile. I was just like, oh, this is flipping wild, dude. Because then use the basis of the tones as like a foundation, and then what Robert Monroe did was that he made a kind of protocol for practicing these different levels of consciousness, of like getting to the point of where people claim that, like, I mean, this is how the guy from the Sean Ryan show got to the point of getting better about his remote viewing, was using this specific gateway experience.
Dude, you're gonna send me a link so I can put it in the show notes, and then I want to try this.
In the Immortality Key, they talked about how there are, I forget what kind it is, but there's a type of yoga where like they basically try to tap into the same thing as like psilocybin, and they're like, basically like the conclusion was like, you can, like, people have like shown that they can get to that same kind of level, or no, maybe I'm mixing, I think it was when the author Brian was on with Joe Rogan that they were talking about this, but that, totally lost my train of thought after I corrected myself. No, that you can do the yoga. Yeah, you can do yoga, and you can like get to that same level of like consciousness or whatever. But then Rogan was like, "Yeah, or you could take psilocybin and get there like immediately, and it works every time." And but that's still interesting. Like, because if you can get to those levels through like consciously thinking, or maybe getting rid of your whatever.
I can tell you,
you're tapping into something that exists within the human mind.
It's definitely possible, right? And I think that, and I, these are theories, right? And from my own experience, I've heard people talk about this that have amazing, you know, degrees and have studied this in science, but just from practical application, I've got extensive practical application with meditation using psilocybin And there's this thing that happens when you use psilocybin specifically. And there's a resonance that begins to, you feel this vibration that just kind of starts to wonk, right? Like it's, some people call them the wah-wahs. You know, like that's more of a cannabis thing. This thing where you tap in and you feel the surge of energy with psilocybin there, if you can do that through meditation, it comes with some practice, right? And sustainability is different. I don't think you're ever going to achieve the levels of tapping in vibration there just through meditation. Like I don't know that it's actually possible to hold your focus that long on something without the stimulant that is, you know, psilocybin. I don't know, especially
it would take like, well,
what do you think if you've done psilocybin and you've kind of been able to open up those portals, do you think you're more apt to be able to open it up not using psilocybin?
Yeah, I can tell you that if I was to just stop now, sit here, take some deep breaths, focus, I could activate it. Like no issue. But you're only going to hold it for a matter of minutes. This isn't going to be, you know, half an hour, an hour, hours on end, possibly, where you're just so tapped into something so much bigger. And this is kind of what we were talking about, you know, a while back in terms of manifestation and vibration. And I talked about kind of slipping and all these other things in terms of, you know, if you're focused on something you're positive about it, you're protecting that OODA loop, and now you're just finding the right frequency with a different amount of, let's just call it realities, dimensions, you know, whatever all that is like you're finding that vibration in terms of where the better you is, right? Like how am I slipping into what I want to manifest? And you find that vibration, that channel, and you move forward. The thing is what you have to do, I think, is maintain that. And I know this is some, you know, very theoretical, you know, hocus pocus sounding stuff, but once you start,
this is settled science, people,
in practical application, things begin to just kind of happen. And I think, you know, I will say there is more going on there than I understand, but there is definitely something that happens with intention, with vibration and intensity, and the time that you spend focusing on the goals that you want to achieve.
Well, I think what's worth maybe discussing a little bit more is that, because I think I agree and I know what you're talking about, but I think it could also be hard to conceptualize. Is like what you're getting at is like, I think, is, correct me if I'm wrong, noticing like the synchronicities in like the things that you want and the way that they're lining up, like in your life, right? Like everything starts to get a little bit more streamlined. Like, oh, I was just talking about this or thinking about this with someone else who wants to do this, and like that kind of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it's not only synchronicity between you and others that are out there that may be on the same path, but it's just seeing things evolve through fruition. Like, I mean, you know, there are examples in even my life where you look back, you know, where there's a troubled period. You're experienced this point where you're I don't know, I wouldn't even call it your faith is being challenged or something like that. Maybe it's some hard times, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think what people don't understand is like during hard times you are being challenged, and you are being challenged for a reason. It's because the world requires you to grow at that point. And so you can't just, you know, automatically do these things. It's one of those things that has to be super intentional. So when you're finding these hard times and you need to grow more into the person you need to be, it's more or less, you know, what is the intention you need to grow towards? What is the world, what is the universe saying? Hey man, you're deficient somewhere, right? Something's out of balance. Something is not right. Where do you need to grow in order to adapt? And that's the first part of it. What happens because of that, whether it's achieving that eventually or just the tiny steps that you'll take along the way, like being, you know, if you've got a checklist, like, hey, if this is the goal, what are the goals that I need to do to get to whatever that is, right? So now you're starting to take steps, and now you're starting to visualize. And as you visualize, you know, you can start to see how you're going to move through. It's not going to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. And I want to make $1 million. No, that's like, that's silly, right? Like, that's not the way this works. But if you're saying, hey, listen, you know, I want to rebrand Radical. I want to bring it back. I want to do it bigger and better. And I wanted to have sponsors and I want it to be this amazing thing. Right. I've been thinking about this for months and it's like, all right, well, what needs to happen? And so in the background, what's funny is like over the past couple of weeks, I've been looking at things, thinking about how I'm going to rebrand it, putting together a new intro. What am I going to do in terms of coverage? If, you know, you guys are going to be a part of it. And as I'm starting to make a new intro last week, now you guys are sitting there going, hey, look at some white space on the calendar. Like, what the fuck, man? So you just kind of, it's not hooey. It's just one of those things that I think it's a vibration thing. It's an energy thing and it's an intention thing. And the more you stay on it and the more you practice it, the easier it becomes to continue to do that.
You know, you know a lot about this, probably a lot more than I do, but like the whole mycelium network.
Oh.
And how basically it's just this like underground network and it's kind of communicating with the whole like biosystem, and it literally it'll see where like the entire ecosystem might be deficient or damaged in something, and it basically can move resources to where it's needed within that ecosystem. And I to watch what I'm about to do here. I'm impressed right now. I think when you're doing the grounding thing, that's what you're doing. Like, you're tapping into the ground and you're tapping into this network that is trying to figure out like what needs what and where, and probably the thing that needs the most attention, because it's just screwing it, it's just fucking itself left and right, is the humans. And so when we tap into that network, the system's like, we got to fix this guy over here. And so I really think you're like kind of tapping into something. Like I said, I think I have been having like very vivid dreams ever since switching to these grounding sheets. And I almost feel like it's tapping into some of that, like, what do I need? And then I'm waking up and manifesting kind of the things that I think I need. And I'm putting it out in the world. I'm talking to people about it. And you kind of manifested it just by talking to us about like, hey, I would really like to do Radical, but I'd like to have you guys on the show more often. So that's kicking around in the back of my head. And then the free space comes up and it's like, hey, why don't we do an episode of Radical? Like, you guys free? You guys free? Yeah. So like, you literally did manifest it because you put it into other people's minds. They're thinking about it in the back of their heads. And when it just kind of comes together.
Incredible that I'm tapped into one of the largest biomasses around here in North Georgia too. Like, natural, old, very historic, powerful biomass. It's like, I don't know. Like,
and you're located, not without getting too much away, but yeah, like at the tip of like the Appalachian Mountains. Like, yeah. And you think like, I don't know if you've ever looked at like the entire Appalachian Mountains, like from a satellite view.
Yeah.
But you can tell, in my non-expert opinion, that like glaciers just carved these mountains out, because it's just like these perfect lines all going in parallel from like the northeast down to the southeast. It's kind of wild, but you think about, all right, that's happening, and it is kind of pushing all this rock and sediment and like some of the like the richest, most pure like minerals into the, and this is the end of it where it kind of petered out before like the glaciers would have melted and retreated.
Yeah.
And so you're just sitting on like some of the richest, most fertile stuff from all across the Eastern Seaboard has been like deposited there.
I think it's funny you talk about like the crystalline structure that's involved. Like, granitic quartz down here in the South is Georgia is the granite state, and to kind of have all that kind of going on with the mycelium and the resonance and everything else. Like, there's maybe, I don't know. I know this is getting into some weird space, but it's one of those things that I think, you know, in the right hands, in the right crowd, maybe this crowd, because, you know, if they're aligned with us, you know, hey, here's some secrets to, you know, like how you make things happen. Here are some secrets to, I don't know, maybe fulfilling healing, to fulfilling, you know, a better person inside of you, like becoming the best person you can be. I don't know. Maybe that's valuable for some people out there.
Well, it's worth also kind of like on this topic discussing like whether it's manifestation or whatever. I was actually thinking like a couple weeks ago that I was like, one of the things that I want to write about is how I think that. So I've told you guys about the documentary from Dr. Greer, where he, I think it's like the third or fourth one. It's not the one that I had you guys watch when we did the Brave mission stuff, but one of the documentaries, he has a couple theoretical physicists come on, and one of them is talking about this study that was done with a light in a gridded off room in a plant, and the random number generator, and the light, yep, like just followed the plant as they moved it around. That whole kind of train of thought has got me thinking that the aspect of life and reality that allows for manifestation to exist is desire, like the desire for something. Cause like, if you think about a plant, it's like, how is a plant being in a room going to manipulate reality to pull what it needs to the area that it's in? It's like the plant has a desire to live, right? A desire to live and to propagate, like, and spread seeds and whatever, which we all have that desire down to our very core of our DNA. And so I've got this theory that like, desire bends reality. You could probably train to focus your desire more to bend reality more, but the problem is too, like, that this is a double-edged sword, right? Because desire is also an aspect of attention or focus. So if your attention or focus isn't on what you desire but on what you're afraid of or what you're fearful of, then you're pulling that fearful thing forward, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the people that suffer from anxiety and depression, if they don't start like taking like cognitive behavioral therapy steps and like improving their lives and like looking for the silver lining, like changing the way that they perceive everything, all that they get is more and more negativity. Yeah. Right? Because that's all they focus on. Just for anybody that's listening.
I think you're into something that is extremely powerful here. And I've been thinking about this for a long time. I haven't really said it out loud yet, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. I'm going to bounce this one off you guys in this audience.
You and me both.
The idea, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, the idea that you can sit there and get into a meditation state where, you know, we are controlling that vibration versus the, you know, automatic, hey, you're going to Pluto here and with psilocybin from 0 to 30. So there, I think this has been done for a long time. And I kind of reference, you know, the fact that they've had MK Ultra, you know, operations going on for a very long time, doing probably some very dark stuff with that in terms of manifestation. I think there's, because of who we're finding out who these people are, whether it's the State Department, the CIA, the bankers, you know, the alphabet soup that's out there, people who are compromised, the Epstein Island fiasco, whatever, right? Like, we are dealing with, I think, something extremely dark and extremely spiritual that is out there. And so when I say this, I don't say it lightly and I don't say it very tongue in cheek. I think these people have been delving into this for a very long time. I think whether it's some of the major, major churches that are on the planet, which, Jordan, you can kind of understand from Brian Morosky's writing, The Immortality Key, that the Catholic Church got rid of psychedelics for a fucking reason. Like, it was, hey, we're putting up a partition so that you guys have to come through us and we will go to God. And I guarantee you, the church has been using psychedelics for a very long time. And it kind of calls into question, well, if you guys are using psychedelics and you don't want us to use the psychedelics, why the hell, what are you using the psychedelics for other than power that you don't want us to know about? And I mean, the Spanish Inquisition is riddled with getting rid of quote unquote witches who are creating psychedelic brew and psychedelic things for the masses to take. And then you had the execution of Saint Bruno in the 1600s, where this guy was standing up against the church saying, no more, like, we're not fucking, like, no, we have to keep psychedelics in not on the mass, but what is it in Catholicism where you take
the Eucharist?
Thank you.
The Communion.
Yeah. And so he was literally killed in, like, Brian Marasky, goes through the text in the forbidden sections of the Catholic Church, or at least the restricted sections, and describes this. And so if that's being done, what are we doing on the other side of this? You know, and this is an idea that I have not floated out there, but I want a group of what I'm going to call light warriors, guys that are going in, in mega doses with each other, with intentions to go in there and do like some work in terms of quote unquote burning out the pedophilia, burning out the rape, the murder, the force, the coercion, that type of spiritual warfare. That is one of those things that I think is extremely lacking in this world right now, because everybody's like, well, if you just go to church on Sunday and you give your life to Christ, especially here in America in the South, right? It's if you're not doing that, you're probably going to hell down here. But that's not what spiritual warfare is, right? Like, the spiritual warfare is the intention of a group or a society getting together, doing some light work in protecting themselves and each other, with a manifestation or intention of getting rid of some of these really evil things. And I mean, for the life of me, I haven't cracked this one yet, how to present it, but I think this is the start of it, because you guys have been there, you guys know how it is, and you can go down some holes, and having that guarded mind, that security, that OODA loop of the warrior inside of a mind that can control those things and aim it at something for good. I think that's an incredibly powerful manifestation.
So I got a little bit to unpack here, because you've just like blown my mind, and I've like making connections and stuff.
I'm going to blow your mind more afterwards, because I have like, this is very related to what I've been working on in my own time, Shane.
Dude, so. I think this was all just like meant to happen today, to get these ideas like commingled.
Fucking do it live.
So I'm reading, I'm currently reading, what's it called? After Jesus, Before Christianity. And so it's about like, so it was the immortality key that got me tuned into the fact like, man, I really want to learn more about what happened like from between Jesus dying and the Roman Empire accepting Christianity and it becoming so institutionalized. That's 400 years that this people just, I think most Christians just have this idea of like Christ died and then everyone turned into Christians and then bada bing, bada boom, like that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it was 400 years of it being like this underground, like in back rooms, this very subversive religious sect. Even though the Roman Empire was very accepting of all other religions, as long as it was something that they like dominated and then they could throw their God into the pantheon, literally like all theology is what pantheon means. They could put all these other people they had conquered's gods into their pantheon. And it was like they were collecting gods. And it was like Jesus or whatever this religion is, it wasn't anything, there was no nation to be conquered, because it was just, I look at it like an insurgency. And it things that they were doing were really like undermining the emperor and the empire, like everything they had to do. And I'm like, first off, I'm tying this all to Bitcoin. And I'm like, this is fucking blowing my mind. But at some point, so tie this together, kind of, I'm thinking about these ideas along with everything that Brian says in the immortality key, of how like the church has suppressed these psychedelics or potentially has, right? And so I would do kind of a 180. I don't think it's that the church is using it to tap into it. I think that the church, because also remember, like the early church and state were the same thing. Like you had both of them. It's the same way the Roman Empire ruled, is like church and state was, there was no difference. It was all one thing.
Right.
And really what it was propaganda to rule over the people. Like, as I'm reading this, I'm real, like my mind's being blown at how good the Roman Empire was at propaganda. Like it was just, you have to place yourself in that time and place, and like what the propaganda was, these stories, and it was about the gods and stories about what's right and wrong and what's acceptable and all this stuff. So like, that's amazing. So, but what I think happened is I think the church came in and they saw these psychedelics kind of, they tapped into this thing in the human psyche that let them know we can push back against authority. Like, one, there's a higher authority. We don't need you. We're not afraid of you. So I think it's more along the lines of they had to get rid of it, and they don't under, by getting rid of it, they also didn't use it and they don't understand it. So I would, I, while I agree with like almost everything you said, I just, in that aspect, I look at it in 180 degree difference.
Don't you think it's too powerful a tool for those guys not to use though?
I think they're too, I think they started to believe their own propaganda. And I see that as being a major issue with the current regime that we're under right now is like, they just believe their propaganda, whether it's the corporate press or the politicians or the bankers or whoever, they believe their own propaganda so thoroughly that they cannot see outside of the paradigm. And that is what brings an empire down.
I think
because they're not operating in reality anymore.
There's some nuance to this, right? Because I think you're probably right. Like at the entry level, I think you're probably exactly right that, you know, and probably up to some very high levels that a lot of these guys are not privy. They don't know. They're not part of it. But I think at some extremely high levels, boy, yes. I mean,
I could agree with that.
Like that nuanced approach where like, okay, listen, at this level, you've been around long enough. You see what we're about. You're being groomed for this. Like it's still political. I mean, let's face it. Like if you think the Catholic Church isn't political, well,
no.
Yeah. Highly, highly political.
Got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, exactly. And so you,
that was one of the best lines that Matthew Loheimer said last night was like, any institution created by humans is corruptible. So just understand that. And I was like, that's a really good point. Like,
you know how many times I've trying brought to that be up? Perfect. You know how many times I've brought that up on like just the topic of religion? Like when, like particularly with people, like it's not very often, but like individual Bible thumpers. Like I've interacted with them and I'm like, you realize that any human run organization is therefore corruptible, like at its core. Like regardless of the mission. Yeah, I get that. It's like, so in the longer that like with, when you're dealing with human run organizations, it's almost like the exact opposite of the Lindy effect, right? Like the longer they've been around, the greater the likelihood for corruptibility is. So I'm like, so when you're looking at quite literally every religion out there, there's a high susceptibility to corruption. Like, yeah, it's like, so don't you think you should probably kind of like start thinking for yourself a little bit? Like, I'm not saying you don't use it as a foundation, but like to buy into exactly like every doctrine without questioning it or exploring it or exploring other different doctrines and like ways of thought. I'm like,
well, and it's funny. It's funny that you bring that up because the Roman Catholic Church is the longest running institution in human history, and not just like the current, like ever, any institution that's ever existed amongst humans, that's the longest one to ever run. And so you also look at it, so it came into being when like the Roman Empire decided to accept Christianity and use it again as like a propaganda tool. And so almost immediately at its foundation, it was corrupted because it was being used to rule over and manipulate other humans. Like very, there was a calculation
rather than made. Growing organically.
Yeah. And so all these paleo Christianity movements that were very decentralized and like, it was not just everyone's doing the same thing. It was very localized, which like makes me think, man, it must've been awesome back then because it was very in tune to like what your very specific society and culture needed. But once it became centralized, it was like everyone has to do things this way, and that's
hammer fell.
And and it was like, damn, even if you tried to do that the right way, even if you were very intentional about like, where it was just filled with awesome human beings and awesome men, right, just trying to do the right thing, the chances of them getting it right exactly on every single thing is just astronomical. It started off on a foundation of corruption, even if it wasn't intentional.
Well, so this gets into what I specifically wanted to bring up to kind of agree with some of the stuff that Shane was talking about. And we're in like so the book that I recommended that I sent to you most recently, Jordan, and the one that I was thinking that you would probably like too, Shane, is it's a book. You're not going to be able to buy it on Amazon. It's only available through the archive.org website where I downloaded the PDF. It's called A Seed That Fell on Good Ground. And it was released in 2020, I believe April of 2020. And I'm only halfway through it, but the author takes, it's a 400 page like PDF, but he takes his time. Cause like, he's getting into the whole, like what, like specifically what we've experienced the last couple of years and what was like really starting to come to the height in 2020 was like the propaganda machine. And like, what a lot of us have been discussing and researching for the last couple of years is like, okay, like we knew the CIA and the intelligence organizations were up to some like shady shit, like how much shady shit, right? And before he gets into talking about that, he has like, he goes in, he spends like the first half of the book just talking about like secret societies and specifically getting into the Illuminati. And he goes like, I've been taking notes on this dude. Like he has like the amount of different references he relies on and stringing these things together from different people that have written their own books about the structure of the Illuminati. Like it goes all like the Illuminati came out of this group called the Alumbrados, like back in like the, what, the 17th century or something. Like it's probably even older than that. And talking about how it, like the Illuminati got like came together with all like the 13 primary ancient families out of like out of the world that had the most power, and how it's like he has a structure of like the Supreme Council of 13 is the top echelons of the Illuminati, and then underneath that is the Council of 33, and then underneath that is the Committee of 300, and then out of like the Council of 33 and the Committee of 300 is like all these different organizations. It's like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, all the banking and like all that stuff. I'm just getting my freaking mind blown because I'm like, it's like, A, like the whole reason I started looking into this is because of that article I wrote through Zero Hedge that was like, okay, I don't believe it's some giant single organization conspiracy. But then I'm reading about like the structure, like the action, like, because like the hard part with like even talking about anything Illuminati is like, it's been so, what's been done to it is like the word conspiracy.
Yep.
Right. Because
people
like,
almost don't think that the Illuminati actually is, it was a real thing. It's just
it is
a,
yeah.
So many things have been said about it to obfuscate what's going on about it that people just associate Illuminati with a fake thing.
Yeah. And well, and like in the hard part for me is that like I'm not like when you're reading about this stuff, it becomes very easy to just go, oh, all of it is because of it, right? But in particular, and what Matt confirmed with us the other night, when I mentioned to him, I have a theory that a lot of this stuff is being driven or at least used, is using the United Nations as a delivery mechanism for spreading communism across the world. What I'm getting at is I think that there is a spiritual war being waged on planet Earth, like a proxy war between like good and evil. And regardless of whether this satanic evil energy is real or not, the people that are acting upon the agenda believe it's real, to the point of where you start like just like looking at all the different like ways and industries that like Satanism is starting to like become very, very popularized. Like Hollywood and music seems like it's right out in the, and not even just Hollywood and music, but industry. Like what's her name? Abramovich, Marina Abramovich or whatever. Like she's an open Satanist and she's like been invited to speak at, I think, things involving the United Nations even. But then there's like, I've dug up documentation of this David Spangler guy who he's very interesting. I've been chipping away at the PDF of his book on my computer where he was a director at the United Nations back in 1975. This guy is a closet Luciferian slash Satanist. Like I'm reading through this book that he wrote and he argues that to believe like a proper Christian is to not only see that Lucifer is a good guy, which I understand a lot of the arguments, because like some of the arguments, like Lucifer came down to like guide humanity or whatever, like, sure, that could be an interpretation. But he specifically gets into, if all of reality is an aspect of God, then matter has godliness in it. And to be materialistic is actually a good thing. And I'm like, I can understand how you get there, but I don't agree. Because then you start to, because like, if you're one of these individuals that's like spreading all of this like ideology that materialism is a way to get closer to God, then it starts to make sense why there's all these people up here like flaunting off like all their massive, like their closets with like 120 different purses, you know?
Well, and that's like just what Matt talked about, like destroyers versus builders. So if accumulating like mass is just gets you closer to God, then I guess like a black hole is like the best thing in the universe, right? Like maybe that is God down there. Like, cause all it is doing is sucking everything in and destroying it. Like it would literally justify you stealing everything you could in the world and using it for yourself because it's going to get you closer to God. But like, even if that was true, so you're ruining all these lives so one person can get closer to God, like that's not like even that, how's that
like
noble?
That's even, and that's kind of like the core of what I'm getting at, is like I think this kind of ideology is at the core of what's been going on. Like these small groups, like especially if, like, I mean, it could be the Illuminati, it could be the Illuminati and somebody else, it could be neither of them, whatever is going on, like the people that are like at the tip of the spear of this agenda, they're getting all these people to enact their strategies of getting more materials under their ownership and their possessions so they can get closer to God. Like that could be something that's going on, because it's definitely a lot of rules for thee and not for me that's happening all over the world, right? And what I'm getting at is that I think that this is where the conversation can get really interesting, as if it hasn't been interesting enough. I think that the collapse of America, and I think that the coronavirus pandemic and whatever the pandemic is coming in the future, and this spread of communism destroying of Europe, and obviously like the immigration crisis, which is part of the collapse of America, the rise of China maybe, but specifically the UFO and alien stuff that's been going on recently, I think they're all part of the same organization.
What if our world is clashing with like another world? Like maybe the invasion isn't on the border. Maybe like the invasion is.
Well, so that's the thing, is I think that all of that is an aspect of like the good and evil proxy war that's happening on the planet right now.
You know what I find extremely interesting in all of this? I mean, and I think Matt said it really well. If you guys haven't seen the last episode of Bitcoin Veterans, we had Matt Lohmeyer on. He's a former lieutenant colonel out of Space Force. Before that, he was U.S. Air Force. He was an F-15 pilot. Remarkably bright guy, and definitely going to be a great Bitcoiner here in the very near future. But this guy came on, and we were talking about some things, and what he established kind of was, you know, the difference between a lot of what we think is good or bad, you know, but it was more of like a focus on beauty, or, you know, the focus on destruction, right? Like, yeah, you guys had made that point earlier. This aim, this idea that you can focus and build a world that's beautiful versus tearing things apart, tearing things down, takes no talent. It's animalistic. It is, you know, it's that reptilian brain, you know, piece, that low vibration that, you know, eat the rich, blah blah blah. And I'm not saying that there aren't some bad rich people out there, but at the same time, it's being wealthy doesn't equate to being bad. But this idea that we can build beauty and do these things, you know, that we should be setting our sights on something that is amazing, things that, you know, we dream about, like that's where I think a lot of this stuff is headed. But you know, Mike, you're starting to touch on, you know, possibly some of the stuff, and Tucker's talked about it. You know, Tucker Carlson's talked about it. Like, you know, we know for a fact that there are, you know, off-world vehicles or whatever the hell they're calling them, UAPs, that they've testified in front of Congress about. They have, you know, do we know it's who it is, what it is? But what we don't understand is, have these people who are quote unquote in power made any sort of agreements with or alliances or anything else? You know, have they made them with these, I don't know, different non-human entities, basically?
Well, and I think that something that also needs to be maybe even, it might be downstream of that, like, conversation, is that I think that there's a very, very real and increasingly real possibility that all of the entities and deities across all of history are the same thing as the aliens. I think that there's a possibility that all of them could either be representations or direct testimony of what these things were, right? Like, as far as, like, whether you're talking about the gods from Greek and Roman times, like Jupiter and Zeus and all those guys, or you're talking about angels and demons. I'm not, like, so when I say gods, I'm not saying, like, capital G. I'm not saying Yahweh or God or the Holy Spirit or, you know, whatever. But I think that
beings that have been misinterpreted or described as gods.
Yes, like small yep. G, like yep. the individuals that would, like, come down to Earth itself.
Yeah.
I think that there's a high likelihood that aliens and angels and gods and demons are all, like, the same thing.
Different ways of describing the same thing.
Yeah, different ways of describing the same thing. Because I think that there's a likelihood that there are, because, like, the other hard part too is that I think there's a likelihood that there are actual craft that are not terrestrial visiting us. I think that there is a likelihood that there are actual species that are not terrestrial that are visiting us. I think there's a possibility that we are not terrestrial, that we were, like, put here. There's a possibility for that. And I think that there's also a possibility that a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, like, as far as, like, these UFO interactions, I think there's a high likelihood that a lot of what we've seen in the last, like, couple of decades is actually our own stuff doing, like, carrying out missions by a secret space program or any number of secret space programs across the planet. And I think that some of those craft might also be some of those craft. And then those specifically those organizations are also relying on, like, the sex trafficking and child trafficking ring, along with the illegal trade of drugs and ammunition across the planet, and also getting into, like, some of this adrenochrome stuff, because it all starts to relate, like, really, really tightly, especially when you look into the adrenochrome stuff, how it's produced, how it's harvested, what populations it's harvested from, and then relate it back to old rituals from ancient times of where they would use torturous blood ritual techniques to try and contact particular entities. Like, once you get to that level and you start, like, connecting all these different, like, strings and dots, it's like, dude, like, it starts to feel good because you feel like you're actually understanding what reality is. But at the same time, it's like, man, that means there's a lot of shit here, like, involved that none of us could have ever imagined even just a couple of years ago.
I think for all the people listening, like, that's like, oh, these guys, they don't know what they're talking about, or they're, like, stringing things together. Like, you know what? Maybe not. But this is how ideas are created, and how, like, new ideas are created, how new discoveries are found is, like, if you look back at all the, like, when Galileo was saying, like, hey, I don't think the Earth is the center of the universe. And he had, like, he had some things to back it up, but there were some facts that, like, didn't add up for what they knew at the time. Right.
Yeah.
And because there was science behind, like, the sun being the center of the universe. It's just, we got smarter and new science.
You comparing me to Galileo, dude?
Yeah, exactly. I'm comparing all of us to, like, Galileo. We're all just, you know, philosophers.
Think boys.
Disguise. But I would take, like, these things, like, take them with a grain of salt. Like, do your own research. Look into these things yourself. We're just trying to connect some dots we've seen, and we're sitting here talking about it. And, like, yep, that makes sense. And that connects with some other things I was thinking about.
Well, and most people aren't like comfortable with like sharing this stuff in such a public, like, this is going to go out to be viewed by whoever can view it.
I wish I could just talk about this stuff like in my everyday life with like the people in my life. But a lot of times it comes, they just take it as like, you're a nut job. You don't have anything to back it up. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm just talking about some things that are like interesting and let's have a discussion about it and connect some dots. What do you think?
I was gonna say, like, in like those people, like in those interactions that you're describing, like they expose that they're scared to even think about this shit.
Well, yeah. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, right? Like whether you're part of a church that doesn't want you talking about this, or obviously delving into places with guys with psilocybin or cannabis or, you know, plant medicines of any sort, whether it's your work that will fire the shit out of you for saying, hey, yeah, you know what, I'm working in this area for either post-traumatic stress or spiritual enlightenment, consciousness, you know, whatever. There's been this programming of society through just culture manipulation and through legislation to make this taboo, to make this like you don't approach these things, especially as of late when people are getting, you know, fired left and right for not taking, you know, the COVID cocktail. Like those kind of things are ridiculous. But it's funny that, you know, when you do see it out there and you see these people who have put it together and have done so miraculously well, I put up a post the other day. This lady sits here and reads The Secret Covenant, and I won't, you can find it on
I've heard of it.
But it's very interesting. I don't care who wrote it. The thing is it speaks, and you start to see, you know, through some of what she says, and I'll play a little bit of it, but I don't want to go too long on it.
We will foment animosity between them through our factions. When a light shall shine among them, we shall extinguish it by ridicule or death, whichever suits it best. We will make them rip each other's hearts apart and kill their own children. We will accomplish this by using hate as our ally, anger as our friend. The hate will blind them totally, and never shall they see that from their conflicts we emerge as their rulers. They will be busy killing each other. They will bathe in their own blood and kill their neighbors for as long as we see fit. We will benefit greatly from this, for they will not see us, for they cannot see us. We will continue to prosper from their wars and their deaths. They shall repeat this over and over until our ultimate goal is accomplished. We will continue to make them live in fear and anger through images and sounds. We will use all the tools we have to accomplish this. The tools will be provided by their labor. We will make them hate themselves and their neighbors.
That's an important part right there. The tools will be provided by their labor.
Yeah. Like
we're going to use them to create the very chains that are not only binding them, but torturing them.
Yeah, we're going to make them hate each other, right? Like, I mean, and look at it. You look at what Democrats and Republicans have done here in America. You look at, you know, the different political parties overseas. You've got farmers that have, you know, kind of gotten to the point where they're like, enough is enough. And all over Europe, if you haven't seen this, you should definitely go look. Farmers all over Europe have stormed the capitals, and not just stormed, like they are delivering tons and tons of manure, whether it's solid or liquid, and spraying it all over government buildings. And it's not just the ESG stuff. Like it is, like people are sick, people are done. They're like they see it, they are starting to shed this thing. I think this is maybe the most positive part about it. And you know, we're already running up on an hour and a half, and I got to get going here in a few anyway. I think what we're watching right now is the absolute rejection of everything that they've been trying. I think they are being exposed. You see, you know, so many things starting to come together and so many people work in unison and share and develop and you know, harmonize again. That's that piece that I really find interesting, at the same time as the tool that they're using against us, the currency, not money, but currency, is failing, just rampantly failing all over the globe right now. To see this all coming together, you know, we're birthing something new, something old is dying. But what people I don't think account for is the fight for what the new thing is going to be. And that's, you know, obviously, you know, the route that we're all taking, you know, we're obviously all Bitcoiners to begin with, and we'd like to introduce you to our Lord and Savior Satoshi Nakamoto. I obviously say that tongue in cheek. If you're just listening to the show, it's obviously tongue in cheek. But there is something larger happening, and I think when you read between the lines, what we've been talking about today, especially in this idea that there is a community that is looking at this and going, there's more to this in terms of just Bitcoin. Like, this is, there's a spiritual awakening that's happening. There is this yearning for people, men, to stand up. And I mean, I would be remiss if I said, listen, guys, I am fighting the urge on a maybe hourly basis sometimes when I see stuff that the back of my head goes, get your boys and get your guns and go do business, right? Like, it's time. Right. And like, that's the piece that I think we have to push as far off as possible. But at the same time, you can't push it too far off. And, you know, like, I'm not there. I'm not suggesting violence. That's not us. What I am saying,
the point is, there comes a time.
It's not off the table. It's never off the table.
Yeah.
No. Like, that has to, we don't want it, but it's an option and it's sitting there.
I just want people to know, like, if this is what you're thinking, you're not alone. If you're thinking you're crazy, you're not. You're not alone in thinking these things. This is a well-crafted war that these guys have been at for a very long time. And I would urge everybody to go watch episode 75 of Tucker Carlson that just dropped earlier today, where they talk about how the agency and this apparatus that was, you know, the War Department that became the CIA and the State Department and the rest of these organizations, now after 2020 is looking inward to the United States. And I mean, you guys may be able to attest to this, especially you, Jordan, having been in some meetings when we started looking, I don't know, it was probably a decade ago, at the idea of near to peer or peer to peer warfare. They never said, you know, China, they never said Russia. They said peer to peer or near peer. And that to me just blatantly says, this is America. Like, this is the first world. This is Canada. This is America. This is the UK. This is Australia. This is, we are turning that device, which was the manipulation, the coups, the everything that they did in terms of economic warfare, spiritual warfare, and everything else, and we are going to turn it on the inside now and start going to battle there.
Well, as soon as the American people like stood up and said, hey, we don't support you fighting all these wars over there, like you said, all those guns went, what'd you say?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, look what we created. Look what we gave them. Look what we handed to them. The capability to suppress a nation, multiple nations across the world for decades. Like, you think because this piece of paper exists that that's not going to be used against you? Now they got to do it in like craftier ways. But you said something earlier though, like that if you're thinking along these lines, like, don't, you know, you're not alone. Above that, are you not alone, you're absolutely a healthy individual. You are making decisions based on reality. Like, this is the most, they want to make you think that thinking this way is not normal. This is a very normal way, especially for a man, to think adversarially, like, what are threats to me and my family? You're not far above anyone who's not thinking like this, has like been so far domesticated that it's just
unbelievable. Literal brainwashing.
Yeah. Like, that's the only way you get to that. Just like you train a dog or you domesticate a cow, like, you have to stop them from thinking for themselves. And so if you are thinking along the lines that we are, like, you're totally normal. You just need like to stop thinking you're not. Hopefully nobody here listening to this actually thinks that it's not normal. But
and the other thing too, that like kind of following up with what Shane said, with like just how more common these conversations are starting to become, is like, I would also look at cross-reference the quality of the individual that's talking about these things. Like, don't, like, the people, like, in my experience, the people that demonize or completely avoid these kinds of topics, like, you look at them and they're fucking snakes, dude. Like, they're not people to be trusted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking specifically the type that are, like, on CNN and talking about, like, defending DEI and, like, all the, like, especially, like, one of the biggest red flags is the people that are defending the whole renaming of pedophiles to minor attracted persons.
Ugh.
It's like, no.
Burn them out. Burn them like, out.
Because in the whole point is that, like, they're a part of like the Matrix, as far as like when Morpheus is talking to Neo, he's like, these people are so heavily plugged in and reliant upon this system that they will give their life to defend it. Yeah. Like, that's brainwashing. That's specifically how you get a population. Like,
how you give the population the tools that they will use to subjugate themselves.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Exactly.
It's because literally, like, you're convincing the very population that you want to control. Like, if you've not read Anatomy of the State, it is just a minority of people is convincing enough of the population to do the work of subjugation for them. That's what every government is.
Yeah.
Just to varying degrees.
Well, and it's also important that, like, because I think we've all talked about this in spaces over the last couple of years, but it's something that I don't think it's worth reiterating every time, every opportunity you get, is like the way that these intelligence organizations work, whether it's the commercial surveillance businesses or the like the ABCs, like the CIA and NSA that everybody thinks of, or the private ones that were spun up out of personnel that came from those organizations, like I think FireEye is one that Whitney Webb focused on for a while, like these, all these different little things.
Palantir.
The way they, the way that like these individuals work, and the way the intelligence industry works, is like, and you like, I haven't read a lot of these books, like what was the one that you just mentioned, Jordan? Anatomy of the State. Like, what I've learned from my own observations is the way these agencies work and these people work is that, like, you gain intel on somebody to understand your opponent or your target or whatever, and then you steer them with slight nudges. Like, you identify the objective you want them to go, you understand how the person or group operates, and you wait for them to go in a certain direction, and then you just kind of, it's like dealing with a kitten. Like, you nudge them just a little bit. It's like, oh, course correct, go back that way. And then you let them kind of carry on their own way, and then they start to wander a little bit. You nudge them back in the other way. It's just nudges all the way to the end, because then it doesn't feel like they're getting steered in a direction. It feels like willful intent, like they're just doing it, and then you end up getting to a coup d'etat.
Well, that's like Tom Woods always talks about. If you don't know, he's a libertarian podcaster, but he talks about the 3x5 card or index card of allowable opinion. Like, this is the topics that you can stay on. Don't go outside of that. And really, it's like, oh, you stay on it. You have, what is the manufactured consent is what Noam Chomsky described, is like, yeah, you can argue very intensely about these like small groups of topics. Don't veer off of that. So what I think what's happened almost is like you're talking about, all that has happened so much that it's like, oh, we just have to keep them right here. And the second everyone's starting to go off into these different directions, you know, you have to label them racist or it's hate speech or whatever. Like, you have to make it, because you're trying to knock it back in. And all it takes is for us to be like, fuck you, I'm going to go talk about this thing, because what am I hurting? We're fucking talking about something. Get over yourself.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize is, you know, most of the government programs that we spend money on, especially DOD, anything we ever did in space was bullshit. A lot of the DOD stuff is bullshit, or something you will never, ever understand what they spend the money on. When you have, literally have trillions and trillions of dollars, and people have trouble fathoming what $1 trillion is, you can steer and pay for the best actors on the planet. you can pay for entire sporting leagues, you know, in terms of what those guys are doing. That's going to do
hundreds of times over.
Oh yeah, maybe even thousands and thousands of times over. And you can, that's, you know, when you want to talk about bread and circuses and steering masses, it's not just one person they can steer. They can steer an entire country. They can steer, you know, a hemisphere. They can steer all of these things because they have, like Jordan was saying, they've imprisoned you with your own, with your own resources, with your own money. Well, with their money. But now you start to see this breaking down. And I think this is the problem for them right now is this has broken down so far. And to such a degree as now they're trying to do this and it's broken, things are starting to slip out. People are starting to slip out. Yeah. People are saying, man, I see with the writing on the wall and I see this evil shit and I see the exit over there and I'm going for it. I was going to say, I'll get your closing thoughts here and and we'll start wrapping her up.
Yeah. And they're like the one thing I wanted to add to that, Shane, and like this will very much suffice as my closing thought is that, people need to also like revisit the concept of like how these next events like that were going on, they were going through, and how these events going forward are like actually going to play out. Because what education and particularly the education on history falls short for almost all of us is that it, when you're getting into these kind of like, I'll just call it a depression. Like when you're coming out of the fall of an empire and you're in this kind of like societal depression, what ends up coming out the other side, which without fail, every time we look back was like, it seems like it was a good thing, except for if you're using examples of like failed empires, like the Nazi party. What ends up coming out of that almost always looks like it was like predestined to do it, right? Like it was always going to happen. That's not true. Like we're like what we're going into, like going into this future, like say for example with Bitcoin, we don't know if Bitcoin will come out on top. We like to think it will. It has a lot of things that suggest that it will, but it's not a guarantee, right? Like we don't know what's coming. And like Shane, I saw you notice one of my tweets a couple days ago, and like I've been perpetually shadow banned on Twitter for like 4 years straight.
Yeah.
But one of the other things that I mentioned too is like you guys thought that the central bank digital currency war was over. It hasn't even started. Like we haven't even like we're barely into the first innings of the war against Bitcoin. Like and there's also a reality, a very likely reality where Bitcoin is going to get used to prop up the power of a central bank digital currency. Yeah. So like these are all like, and there's a possibility where like that relationship provides for like the next great evil to spring up. Like we don't know what's going to be going on. So like just to like learn to keep your head on a swivel, like defend yourself, like focus on your own like personal resilience and that of your family, like all that stuff, like gain more insight into the whole spiritual war stuff. Cause like, it's all going to be important going forward.
Yeah. Well, and realize like, even if, I mean, even if they somehow co-opt Bitcoin to be their own thing, I still feel like even in that scenario, there's enough of people that are in it that benefit, that we're still going to benefit from being some of the earlier people into Bitcoin, maybe before it got corrupted or whatever, to where like maybe we can still use it. And so we become bigger power players on the scene because, but within that, we also have to make sure like, hey, we've just gotten a lot more powerful. Let's not also be corruptible, right?
Yeah.
But yep. But that's going to happen because, like we said, human systems are corruptible. Kind of as my like closing comment, what I would say when you were talking about the, you know, there's these falls, there's these like revolutions, collapses of empires and stuff. You know, if they're, is this Illuminati out there like pulling the strings and they're trying to keep everybody in line? Every once in a while, I would imagine that it gets out of their control and a revolution happens. Maybe the revolution happens because they wanted it to happen, but let's just, for argument's sake, say every once in a while it gets out of control. What do? They probably just sit back, let the dust settle, right? And then whatever rises up from that, they just start pinging them back in, right? Get it, work them back into the objective that we want them to go to. And so be wary of, regardless of the, if a collapse is done intentionally or it is a spontaneous thing, be wary of what rises from the ashes after that, because there's going to, the system's going to change. Paradigms are going to shift. There's going to be new centers of power, but pay attention to how they start controlling it. And lastly, realize that by saying, to tie this back into how we started, by saying these things, by putting them out into the world, we can help. There's things you can manifest, and there's also things you can stop from happening. You can start describing to people what their plans are and what you think might happen. And that interrupts them conducting that plan, because they're now like, enough people now realize it and are onto it. So once we execute the next step, everyone's going to be pushing back. So you've got to disrupt their OODA loop. This is a very like military term for anybody that doesn't know. It's what, OODA loop. I don't know. Don't know it off the top of my head. Not going to try, but it's the thought process of how you like orient yourself to a situation. You make a decision, you act on that decision, then you analyze the results of that and you start that loop again. And so if you can interrupt that, you're screwing their whole system up. They've got to stop, reorient, figure everything out again. And if in that process you're staying ahead of the curve and you're getting the word out of what their plans are, you're constantly interrupting their plans and they can't execute. So this is how you break the abuse of the past, to tie it back into that conversation. That might have been pre-show. We got to stop being the abusers, right? We got to stop that pattern of abuse, fight back. We can do it, people. Like, we can fucking do it.
Being proactive versus reactive.
Yeah.
If anybody's wondering what OODA loop means or what it stands for, it's observe, orient, decide, and act. It's a four-step approach to decision-making that focuses on filtering available information, putting into context, and quickly making the most appropriate decision. Obviously, very important to warfighters because seconds matter. So, guys, I didn't know what to expect in this conversation. I never do, but all of us are never for a lack of words or thought, which I really, really appreciate. The idea that we can jump on here, we can talk about, you know, light warriors and psilocybin and what's going on with the government, what's going on at the highest levels of the church, what's going on, you know, in these ridiculous elite realms that have used and abused humans as if they own us like cattle. I think this is a healthy exercise. I think it's one that needs to be done. I would encourage anybody who's out there, you know, I understand you got to feed your family. I do. And until you can exit that system and get into a place where they accept these kind of things, but maybe start looking, you know, if this is something that piques your interest, you know, the three of us have definitely gotten to that point, where we can say these things out loud. We you know, we're not too worried about the social or economic ramifications in our family. If you desire that, you have to start working towards that. Start looking at it. I will tell you, one of the best areas in the world to start looking at this, one of the best industries is Bitcoin. If you can find a job in this space, I'm not saying every job is going to be like that, but I'm going to tell you that the open-mindedness of people in this space that understand plant medicine, that understand the things that we've been talking about, these guys are ground truth, some of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. And I'm not saying it's everybody, but this is an industry that I think is going to grow in this regard. And so if you're looking for work and you're looking to divorce yourself from the system that is, that takes advantage of you, that you know, absolutely abuses you and tells you to sit down and shut up, maybe start looking at this. Maybe start learning something here. If this is something you want to be a part of in terms of cultural, in terms of the revolution, we need more people like this out here. Legions and legions more. We're just barely getting started with it. But guys, I don't know when we're going to do this next, but I'm excited, my guys. This has been a hell of a lot of fun and maybe a little bit cathartic at the same time. But I'm looking forward to more conversations, especially on off-world intelligence. I would love to have you know, some amazing guys. Max Borders, I know we've got him coming on to Bitcoin Veterans here pretty soon. Try to get him on here. I want to see if Brian Murawski will re-engage, and maybe if I can get Graham over here as well at some point, you know, to have some of these really huge conversations that we need to have. But I got to run.
You could always reach out to his buddy Randall.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll figure it out some way. We've got enough hands in it to where maybe we can get this going. But really appreciate you guys hanging. My co-host today, if you guys didn't know, Mike Hobart and Jordan Grambrell. Happy birthday, Jordan. I hope your wife really treats you great later to a steak dinner or something like that. But for us, we will see you later. Love you. Need you. Peace.